This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In a minute since we heard this song. We're exciting. It means Rob Pizzola is about to jump on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Rob Pizzola is a professional sports bettor and the CEO of the Hammer Betting Network, a platform dedicated to sharp, no BS content across football, basketball, and hockey. Rob's also the host of Circles Off on YouTube, where he breaks down the sports betting industry from both an educational and lifestyle perspective, whether it's beating the market or exposing the nonsense. And there is a lot of nonsense in your industry, Rob. He brings a level of transparency that's rare in this space. You can follow Rob on Twitter at Rob Pizzola. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Mark.
A lot of nonsense in the sports gambling space, and you are not shy about calling it out.
I'm definitely not. I think with regulated sports betting, when PASPA was repealed years ago, it brought a bunch of new bettors into the market who don't really understand the space. And that triggers me a little bit as like an old school type of bettor. So I've always worn my emotions on my sleeve. And if I see something I don't like, I will I'll talk about it. That's for sure, Mark.
I imagine you get some heat from people in your industry.
I do, but I embrace it. I've always been, you know, I've been a little bit of a disturber in my life.
You're an anti-establishment guy, I can tell, from probably your parents would acknowledge that, right? From when you were young, you were anti-establishment.
I definitely pushed the boundaries in my household. I laid the groundwork for my younger brother and sister to stay out late. You know, before cell phones even existed, I'd come home at 6 a.m. and my mother would be like, you know, where were you? And I was just like, you know, I was watching Punk'd at a friend's house or something. I'm not drinking in the park or doing drugs or anything like that, but you got to push the boundaries in life.
And that's if I was, it's none of your business, Mom. Well,
of course, I could do whatever right. I want. I'm a grown man at 18 years old, right?
All right. He's boots on the ground in Toronto. So not only is he a professional sports gambler, but he is a Maple Leafs fan as well. So let's get your take on what everyone was talking about yesterday, which is Anthony Stolarz, who's not going to be in net tonight. And we loved him down here, by the way. He was a great member of the Florida Panthers. Sam Bennett said yesterday that he talked to him, like he called him that night. What was your take on the actual hit? Do you think there was any shenanigans involved?
So I'll preface this by saying that obviously this goes back years now, right, with Sam Bennett. And Sam Bennett has a reputation around the league as being a dirty player. And that was from his time even in Calgary. He's known for slew foots, for going after the head. Obviously, he had that incident with Brad Marchand years ago where, you know, he kind of punched him, gave him a little sucker punch, knocked him out. There was an incident with the Leafs a couple years ago where he basically gave Matthew Nyes a rock bottom, I would call it, behind the net, gave him a concussion. He's out of the series. So, you know, there's this perception around the league of Sam Bennett being a dirty player. And that weighs into the entire situation. Do I think Sam Bennett should have been suspended for the hit? I mean, don't air this in the Toronto market or else they might, you know, they're going to show up in my house and they're going to want to burn it down. No, I don't, because I don't think you can prove any intent there. It doesn't seem like it was a super dirty play. Obviously, there was some contact to the head at the top of the crease, but I don't think you can prove intent. The problem is when you've been building up this catalog over the years of going after people and hitting them in the head, then people are right to start to speculate whether or not there was intent. Even if it's Stolarz is a friend of his, even if they, you know, they played in Florida together and they know one another, I think it's fair for people to call that into question. So I'm not surprised he didn't get suspended. If I was Department of Player Safety, I probably wouldn't have suspended him for this one either. But you get these accusations thrown towards you when you have a history of doing something. It's like the boy who cried wolf type of scenario. So I don't know. It's a tough one. Toronto definitely can't stand this guy. I'll tell you that. He will get booed every time he touches the puck tonight. Wouldn't be surprised if the Leafs do send someone after him to fight him earlier on in the game as well, because you do have to pay retribution in hockey for these.
But they didn't step to him when it happened, which leads me to believe that they didn't think it, because they're so uber aware when people are in the crease near the goalie. Like that's when you always see the little kerfuffles happen. There was nothing.
There was also precedent though sent very early in that game one, where Max Domi received a cross-checking penalty for the Leafs, where nobody could pinpoint what it was on the play. He just ended up being like the third guy into a scrum, and they said, you're going to get penalized for that. And whenever the referees set that precedent early, you get less scrums over the course of a game, because the guy doesn't want to just take a penalty for protecting the goalie on that type of play. So it's really challenging. I mean, in real time, I'll tell you, like, nobody thought anything of it in real time. It wasn't until Stolarz is throwing up on the bench and they have to take him out of the game before we're rewinding the tape and realizing what had happened on that particular play. So I do think it was dirty, whether or not he should be suspended. Like, I wouldn't hand him a suspension. And the reason I do think it's dirty is just because Sam Bennett has, you know, he has a history of doing these types of things.
And Rob, does it change the series? Because Wall was not a Wall once he got in, gave up three goals. And like, does this change the series? And as a gambler, like, does this change it? Because 5-4 was nothing we expected.
Yeah. So if you look at the prices for game one of the series, right, the best number I could find on Toronto to bet was +105 in that game. Tonight I could find +130. So you can see the market is reacting quite a bit to Wall being in net instead of Stolarz. Personally, I think it's about a 2% difference going from Stolarz to Wall. Connor Hellebuyck was the best goalie in the league this year by a mile. I would argue that Anthony Stolarz was the second best goalie in the league this year. He only played half the season due to injury, but he was really good. With that said, Joseph Wall is not a scrub. I mean, he was 17 goals saved above expected this year. That would have been 16th in the league. So basically like a league average starter. It's not some sort of drop off to a backup that is a complete bum, which would happen with a lot of these teams in the NHL. Is a proven starter, could, you know, carry the team. He didn't look great, definitely, when he came in the first game, but it's not like the Leafs are going to a nobody in net tonight. So I think there's been a little bit of an overreaction to the injury to Stolarz. He is great, don't get me wrong, but this postseason, he's been fine, slightly above average, nothing crazy where they're losing a supremely elite goaltender. And if you were actually just to compare Joseph Wall's numbers to Sergei Bobrovsky this regular season, Wall was actually a far better goalie than Bobrovsky was in the regular season this year as well, statistically speaking. So it's not like the Leafs have this drastic drop-off in net. What I will say, though, is Joseph Wall struggles to find the puck on long shots. It's been the case for him all year long. Florida's very good at getting traffic to the net, screening, things of that nature. So if I were Florida tonight, I would be sending everything to the net from the point and just try to make him make saves early on, because that's been his struggle this career. His career and this season is working through screens. Stolarz is huge. He's 6'7". You know, he's looking over a lot of players that are standing in front of him. Wall is not as big of a guy. And that would be definitely a difference maker if Florida can get a lot of pucks to the net tonight.
Is there a play that you like tonight? Because we were looking at Panthers are -140 on our site, and the total is 5.5. And both of us kind of went a little gaga over the over. Any play that you like?
Yes. So I will say this is not a homer. You guys know me. I've come on many times here before. I've bet against my own teams. I do like the Leafs at the current market price tonight. I did bet them in game one. I thought they should have been favored, a small favorite in game one, and they were underdogs. And I think that the market has really overcorrected to this goaltending situation. Florida is a better team than Toronto. I think the Leafs will have to get good goaltending to win the series. But where we're at right now, there's kind of like this built-in, you tend to see this in game two, especially when the favorite loses, where there's this like built-in expectation that they are just going to automatically rebound. And that's not always the case. So I see value in Toronto tonight. I will be betting the Leafs again in this game. And it's not a homer pick. It's just what I think.
Did you bet the series?
I did not bet the series beforehand. I did not.
And Rob, it's funny because I've watched a lot of stuff about this, the Stolarz injury and all. Do the Florida Panthers, you know way more back than I do. Do the Florida Panthers, do they play nasty? Like, they kept showing all these times where the Panthers were hitting all these goalies like they're out of line of what hockey is. Do they really play nasty like that?
They do, but you almost have to in the playoffs. Like, the balance in the playoffs is playing that type of game and knowing what you can get away with, right? It's knowing when you can push the limits and not get called for pushing those limits, right? Brad Marchand has been an expert at that over his entire career, right? Second most penalties drawn in the entire league this year, and he's basically a third-line player at this point. They know how to muck it up and how to get calls working in their favor, frustrate the opponents. It worked really well for them in the playoff run last year, especially in the Stanley Cup Finals against Edmonton. That's the type of team they are. They're a physical team. I'm not saying they don't have skill. They have tons of skill with the Panthers. But if you look at their like elite players, Matthew Tkachuk, very physical, right? Sam Bennett, physical. Sam Reinhart, very good defensive forward. Even a guy like Alexander Barkov, very defensively responsible. He'll throw his weight around every now and then. So they do a really good job of pushing the boundaries, but knowing when they can get away with things. And as series go on, especially when you get to games 5, 6, 7, referees are calling way less. And some teams are really scared to take penalties. Florida pushes the limits. They finish every check. You know, if they take one or two penalties in a row, guess what? Now it's time to hit everybody at all times because they know that the refs are going to be reluctant to call a third penalty. That's something that they do really well. And it makes them so difficult to play against.
What about the total? You didn't comment on it. 5.5 do anything for you?
I think it's fair. I think it's a fair price. I will say I definitely lean over in this game. Again, it's still early in the series. What you tend to see over the course of playoff series is early on, referees will call a lot of things. The Leafs got 5 power play opportunities in game 1. I think Florida got 3. You will get calls that happen early on in the series. That's why I gravitate towards overs early in the series and unders a little bit later. I just think that, especially in a game where you get Joseph Woll starting, there's definitely going to be a pretty big defensive emphasis for Toronto tonight, right? And this is just a phenomenon that happens across sports. You think about the NFL, right? Backup quarterbacks look great in the first game that they play a lot of times because everyone ups their effort level just a little bit more. You don't have that starter in there. Same thing applies to hockey. You see it a lot. Whenever a backup comes in, the team knows the backup is in net. They don't take as many chances offensively. They're a little bit more defensively responsible. With that said, I mean, my fair value on the over 5.5 is like -126. So, you know, if you're betting it in the -120 range, I think that's totally fine.